Chapter number 10, and we're just going to read one verse this morning, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. So I'll give you just a moment to find that. If you have a Scofield Bible, it's page 1301. Hebrews chapter number 10, and going to read one verse. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 37, the Bible says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." Let's pray. Lord, I do want to thank you for your many blessings. Thank you for allowing us to be here today. We think about the storms really across our country. A couple of things been going on. I know a lot of people are fighting the weather and maybe not even able to get out today. Maybe some didn't have power this morning, different areas of the county and other counties, and then a big storm out west and things like that. So, Lord, we're here today, and it's a beautiful day, and you're good to us, and we thank you for your blessings. I ask that you would take your word and speak to our hearts this morning. I pray that nothing would hinder or steal our mind, our heart's attention away from your word. And I pray that we would learn today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. And Lord, most of all, anybody that's lost, I pray that you would show them their great need of salvation. And those of us that are saved, and we know that, Lord, I pray that you would cause us to have a greater desire to see and to think about and live in light of the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. So speak to our hearts and give liberty, and please don't let anything hinder today. And we're looking to you to help us in this new year. Do for us what we cannot do for ourselves, and save souls and change lives, and use us for your honor and your glory. And we ask these things in Jesus' name, and amen. All right, that's a very short verse, and I want us to read it one more time, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 37. It's a great verse. It says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." And there is a phrase that we use quite often in our day-to-day lives. And when I read this verse, I think about this phrase that I'm talking about this morning. We use it a lot of times when we are traveling, and we are very near our destination. We'll use this phrase. We use it at the end or very near the end of a job we might be working on. We'll say these words. We might use it near the end of a semester or a goal in life that we've been working towards. And spiritually and biblically this morning, I believe that this phrase would apply to this verse. In fact, I've got it written in the margin of my Bible. And what I want to try to preach on this morning is the subject of almost there. Almost there. That's what I think about when I read verse number 37. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry." Almost there. I wonder this morning if we, and I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but I'm sure that many of us have been encouraged by hearing those words before. You know, I remember being a little boy and going to the dentist, and I didn't like it then and I don't like it now. But I remember Dr. Warren, and he was always very comforting to me, and I'm sure could tell that I'd had about all I could stand. You know, you've been there, and they're drilling in your head and all that kind of stuff, and it creates anxiety in me just to think about it. But I can hear him say, "Now, just hang in there. I'm almost done. Just about done. We're almost there. Almost over with. We'll be done in just a few minutes." I'm sure we've all heard that before. I'm sure we've all been on a long trip, and we know when we can count off the landmarks getting back home, and we know when we're close, even if it's in the middle of the night and it's dark, and we get to a certain point, and we can say to ourselves, "Well, I'm almost there.
I'm almost home, just a little bit farther. We've heard that. Or, like it says in our verse, a little while. You ever heard that? Or you ever had that phrase in your life? You know, how much longer is this going to take? Well, just a little while. Well, that's what the Bible is telling us here in verse number 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. This verse is referring, of course, to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, with which for the believer today is what the Bible calls. It is our blessed hope. It's what we ought to be looking forward to more than anything else in the world, is the Lord Jesus Christ to come again. And so that's what this is talking about. Now, there's three things I want to share with you this morning on the subject of almost there from the Bible and using this verse. And I'm going to also turn a couple of other places in the Bible this morning. But the first thing I want to point out about this is, number one, almost there is the position of the Scriptures. This is the position of the Scriptures. This is what the Bible teaches all the way through, almost there. Verse number 37 says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. The Scripture nowhere teaches in the Old Testament or in the New Testament that the coming of Christ is a long, long, long ways away. If you study what the Bible has to say about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the position of the Scripture is always in the context of a short while. It's going to be a short while. It's going to be a short time. The time is at hand. I've studied this out in verse number 37 several different times, and I am in no way a Greek scholar or anything like that, but from every time I study this out, the grammatical structure of verse number 37 is saying it is really stressing this a little while. A little while. It is saying, if we go and read it in the Greek language, like I said, I'm not an expert on that, but the emphasis of it is yet a little, a very little while. That's what the message of verse number 37 is trying to get across to us. A little while, a very little while, or a little, ever so little while is what it's saying in verse number 37, for yet a little while. And he that shall come and will not tarry. Scripturally, as I think about what the Bible teaches about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, our waiting, our working, our watching is all based on a short time, not a long period of time. Now, keep your place here and look over in the book of Revelation, chapter number 1. Revelation is the last book in the Bible. And so just turn over there, last book in the Bible, and chapter number 1. And I'm going to read some verses out of chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, and show you that the emphasis of the Scripture is on a short time, or that the Lord is going to come quickly. This is what the Bible is teaching us. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 3. The Bible says, and here's a promise. The book of Revelation comes with a promise. Anybody that will read and study and heed the book of Revelation, there is a blessing involved in it. And he says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand is what the Bible says. At the very beginning of the book of Revelation, what is the message? The time is at hand. That means the time is very near. How many of you, maybe, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but maybe the husbands have done this? I don't know, might be the other way around. Well, I'm sure it is, but how many of you have ever looked over at your spouse and said, look down at your watch and tap the face off it? I guess that goes both ways. I'm sure it does. But I'm thinking about being at Walmart or the mall or something like that, or, you know, just anywhere really, and you look over and what's that mean? We all know what that means. That means the time is at hand. It's time. That's what the Bible is telling us this morning, right at the very beginning of the book of Revelation. If we could put that in a word picture, we could see the Lord pointing at the clock. The time is at hand. It's just about time. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 is a message to seven different churches. Look over in chapter 2 and look what the Lord said to some of these churches. Chapter 2 and verse number 5. To the church at Ephesus, the Lord Jesus said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly." The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to as being quickly. Chapter 2, verse number 16, "Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly." Chapter 2, verse 25, "But that which you have already, hold fast till I come." Hold on to this till I come, till I get there. Chapter 3, verse number 11, look what the Bible says over there. It says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." The word "quickly" there, it means a brief space of time. A brief space of time. Kim yelled up to me this morning. I was studying. She said, what do you want for breakfast? You want some scrambled eggs? I said, sure. I said, I'll come down and help you in just a minute. And I finished up. I come down into the kitchen, and she had already gotten started. And I said, I got to go back here. I said, I'll be back pretty quickly. I went back into the bedroom, back into the closet, and I came back. Didn't take me 3 hours to get back. When I said quickly, I meant a brief space of time. I'm going to be right back. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ, the message to the different churches here. I am going to come quickly. Look in chapter 3 and verse number 3, what the Bible says of Revelation. He said, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. And thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." Our waiting in the Bible is in comparison to "I'm coming quickly." Our watching in the Bible, watching for the Lord to come, is compared to "He's going to come quickly." That's what he said here in chapter 3 and verse number 3. Look over in Matthew chapter 24. And I'm not going to turn of 100 places this morning, but just a couple more. I just want to establish and show you today that the scripture teaches us that the Lord Jesus is going to come quickly, shortly. The time is at hand. Matthew chapter number 24. So many places in the Bible we are told by the Lord that we need to be watching. We need to watch, because the Lord's coming. We need to be on watch. We need to be looking, because the Lord is coming, and He's going to come quickly when He does. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 42. The Bible said, Matthew 24 and verse number 42, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." In fact, nobody knows. The angels in heaven don't know. The Lord knows. We don't know. If you hear somebody out here and they're teaching that they know when the Lord's coming, guess what? You know that they absolutely don't know. That's not going to be the time that the Lord comes. I've seen that in my own lifetime. People saying the Lord's coming here, and the Lord's coming in the 80s, and the Lord's coming in the 90s, and the Lord's going to come at the stroke of midnight in 2000. Here we are. We're 20 years past that. Bible just says you better watch. You don't know what hour the Lord's going to come. Verse number 43 said, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The Lord's going to come when people are not looking for Him to come. And that is exactly where we are. People were looking way more. Churches were preaching way more, teaching way more, talking way more about the Lord coming in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s and the early 2000s than they are today. That's just sort of a topic that's been put on the shelf for a while. So according to the Bible, that ought to be the very time that we're looking for the Lord to come, because the Bible says in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. It teaches it in Matthew, in Mark, in Luke, all the Gospels. Mark chapter number 13. Let me just read this. Verse 33. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. The Bible says that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is like a man that went on a far journey, and he left us in charge of some things. But he didn't go away never to come again. He went away, and he is coming again. And therefore, we need to watch for his coming. We don't watch for something that we think is way off in the distant future. We are not, most human beings are not geared that way. We're thinking about, what am I going to eat for lunch? What am I going to do tomorrow at work, or maybe a month or two? But if we think something is a long ways away, we don't think very much about it. You know, that's a long ways off. The Bible never teaches us anywhere to think of any other way of the Lord coming except he could come at any time. Better watch. Better be ready. I know when I was a little boy, my dad, he drove a truck. And one of the first jobs that he had, he delivered furniture, and he went all over the United States. And I remember a lot of times, most of the time, he would leave Sunday afternoons or maybe early Monday morning, and he went to Texas and Illinois and New York, and he just went all over the place. I was a little boy, me and my brother. You know, when Dad would go off on a trip, and he'd go out every week, we weren't watching for him on Monday. We weren't watching for him to come back on Tuesday or on Wednesday or on Thursday, but maybe Thursday afternoon, Friday sometime during the day. If you've been messing in the basement and getting all his tools out, better put them back up. Wasn't worried about that Dad said to mow the yard on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, but about Thursday, you better be thinking about doing what Dad said to do. He's coming, and he's likely to pull in that driveway just about any time. If he pulls in and you didn't do it, you waited too late. The Lord Jesus said he's coming back. You better be watching. Better be watching, because he's coming suddenly is what the Bible says. Our waiting is based on a short period of time. Our watching, our working. The Bible said in the book of John chapter 9 verse number 4, even the Lord Jesus Christ said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Even the Lord Jesus knew that he had a short period of time to do his work. Better work while it's day. The night is coming. The opportunity to work is going to pass away, and it's going to be too late then. In the book of Luke chapter number 19 and verse number 13, talking about the Lord Jesus coming again, Jesus himself said to the disciples, occupy till I come. Busy yourself till I come. He's coming again, and we're to be busy until he does. There's a great phrase in 1 Samuel chapter number 21, and King David is the one that says it, but he's referring to Saul there, and he says this phrase. He said, the king's business required haste. That'd be good for us to remember this morning. The king's business
requires haste. I was reading yesterday in the book of Genesis, chapter number 19, and it's talking about Lot. It's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and everything that went on down there. And we probably know what happened this morning. The two angels went down to Lot. Now, he didn't recognize or realize at that time that they were angels. But those angels came to make sure that Lot got out of Sodom before the fire and brimstone fell out of heaven. That's a type of the rapture of the church. The saints of God leaving before the tribulation falls. And here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, while Lot lingered. It's talking about the next morning after, you know, the angels spent the night with Lot, and the next morning, but they all get up. I'm imagining this in my mind. They got to leave. They all know that. And Lot's over there making a pot of coffee. Lot's over there making some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for the trip or something like that. I don't know what he was doing, but he was just messing around. There was no urgency in what he was doing. But the Bible said the angels hastened Lot. The angel said, Lot, forget about that. You don't have time to check on your dry cleaning. We got to go. We got to get out of here. But I think today, if we could compare ourselves, we're all probably a little like Lot. We think we got all kinds of time to do everything that you think you got plans to do and to witness to that person or to make things right with somebody. We got all kinds of time. But if the angels could give some feedback to us this morning, I think they would say, y'all need to hurry up. You don't have as much time as you think you do what you're going to do. You better hurry up and do it. I'm sure the angels have a little more insight than we do this morning. But the Bible, the position of the Bible is one that we are almost there. Surely the scriptures are hastening us today, hurrying us along. When we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 37, you ought to underline that, for yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. A little while, a very little while. That is the position of the scriptures. Now, let me give you something else this morning. There is the perspective of the Savior. The perspective of the Savior in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, when it says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. That he is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the perspective of the Savior has always been, I'm going to come again. John chapter 14, people say, oh, I don't see the rapture in the Bible. Well, surely you've not read the Bible. Jesus told the disciples in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Well, if that ain't the Lord coming to get us and take us where he is now, I don't know what is. He said, I will come again. I am going to do this. If I go away, and I'm going to prepare a place, and I'm going to come again. And in Acts chapter number 1, the disciples all went out to the Mount of Olives with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said that they saw him ascending up into the clouds, up into the sky. And the angel came and said, the same Jesus shall come again in like manner. Jesus said he was going away, and he said he was coming back. And guess what? He went away over 2,000 years ago. Guess what? He's coming back. He's coming back. This same Jesus shall come again. Now, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible is from, and you got to get this, it's from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's from God's perspective, not our perspective. And this is what
a lot of people scoff about when they hear about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. People say, well, I've heard that all my life. You ever heard anybody say that? Well, guess what? Here's what the Bible says about your life. Strike a match. Blow it out. That smoke that goes up, that's your life. Says that in James. What is your life? It is as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And the older you are, you probably know it is a little time. Oh, people say, I've heard that all my life. Do you know that's the very fact that people scoff at the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ is proof that the Bible is true, because the Bible said, in the last time there shall come scoffers saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. 2 Peter chapter number 3, read that. The Bible says that in the last days, people will say, I've heard that all my life. Nothing's changed. But that's not a true statement. Everything has changed. Especially in the past 200 years in the history of the world, everything has changed. Hardly anything is like it used to be. A couple of hundred years ago, they're walking, they're riding horses. Now we're driving cars and flying in planes, going to the moon. Find out anything you want to know just about by just pulling your phone out and asking Mr. Google. Our forefathers sure couldn't do that. Everything has changed. The world has changed. I'm talking about people are still the same nature that they've always had, but morally, we're in the last days. Timothy said this, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That's exactly where we are. Romans chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. I mean, we are right there. We're right there where the Bible said this is how it's going to be in the last days. The church has changed. Things are different. Even from when I was a little boy and a young preacher and the church as a whole. And the Bible, I know when I first started preaching, man, I wanted so bad for us to be in that Philadelphian time frame. Revival. Time of the open door. Revelation chapter number 3. But it didn't take me very long to find out we're not in the Philadelphia period. We're in the Laodicean period. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, the Laodiceans in Revelation chapter number 3, that very last church before heaven was opened and John was called up into heaven by a trumpet, all of that is a picture of the rapture of the church. But that very last church said, we're rich, we're increased with goods, we have need of nothing. And the Lord Jesus was on the outside knocking. That's where we are, Christianity as a whole. The world is not the same. The church is not the same. The state of the Jewish people is not the same. For 1800 years, the Jewish people had no nation. They were dispersed among the nations of the world. They did not have they don't have a temple. They don't have a priesthood. They were just scattered all over the face of the earth till the late 1800s, especially began to take shape in the 1900s. Isaiah chapter 11, verse number 11, the Bible says over there that God said, I will set my hand a second time and I'll bring them back from among the nations of the world. Now, God brought them back one time out of Babylon and established them as a nation. And guess what? Today, the nation of Israel is a nation. They are a people. They have their own land. It is a miracle you go find us some Babylonians. Go find some Ammonites and Amorites and all that crowd. They're not around, but let me tell you, the Jews still around. God said, I will forsake all the nations of the world, but I'll never forsake thee. And here they are back in the land that God gave them and God promised them today. Nothing is the same. The scoffer says, well, nothing's changed. Everything's like it always has been, but it's not. Everything is different. I remember as a kid, a lot of times we'd go on trips and we did a lot of traveling. In my memory of things, seemed like we was going somewhere all the time. What's the first thing a kid says when they get in the car? Are we there yet? No, we have to leave the driveway first. Quit asking. That's what I always want to know. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? And a little kid, you know, on a trip, they've never been there before. And you say, are we there yet? And dad and mom says, we're almost there. Does that satisfy a little kid? No. Why not? Because they've never been there. And they really don't have the concept of time that mom and dad does or whoever's. Guess, think about it like this. If you've been there before, you know you're almost there. If you've never been there before, you think, I didn't think we was ever going to get there. Because you've never been there before. But the perspective when it says, I come shortly, I come quickly, the time is at hand. It's from the perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're the kids in the car. We've never been there before. We think this is taking forever. But he's already been there. The Bible says in Revelation chapter number 1 that the Lord Jesus in verse number 11, he says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the beginning, he's the end, everything in between. He's already been there. He knows what's coming around the next curve. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And in the perspective of the eternal God of heaven that come down, died on the cross for us, he says, guess what? I'll be back very quickly. Just a very short period of time, I'm going to be right back. The Bible says that with the Lord, a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. So the Lord's only been gone, according to his perspective, a couple of days. In our perspective, it's been a couple of 1,000 years, but what are we? We've never been there before. But he said, I come quickly. And he is coming back, and it's going to happen very quickly. He is the one that said in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. We say, boy, the book of Revelation has been around a long time. But do you know we are seeing the things the book of Revelation talks about that other generations of Christians did not see and understand. We are seeing these things. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he's going to come quickly. He's coming shortly. These things must shortly come to pass is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, it's going to happen quickly. I think a lot of times people think the coming of the Lord will be a long, drawn-out affair that you'll have plenty of time to get ready for if you're not ready, but that is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches it's going to happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that is faster than the blink of an eye. The Lord is going to come, and if you're not ready, guess what? You're not going. This is why we need to be ready. This is why we need to heed the call of salvation. This is why we don't need to put off and think, you know, well, I've got plenty of time. The Lord could come before the day's over. The Lord could come before this year is over. In fact, as I study the Bible, there's nothing hindering the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church. Nothing has to happen. When we were in England many years ago, Kim and I, that's where she got saved. She thought she was saved. Many of you have heard her give her testimony. She thought she was saved. She was a church member. She was teaching the little kids. But at that time, that was right at the time that the Berlin Wall fell, late 80s, early 90s.
Boy, the preacher, it seemed like he preached on the Lord coming every Sunday. The European nations were talking about getting together and having one currency and being one people. And people that read and knew the Bible, they said this is what's talking about in the book of Daniel, that the nations will come together, and all those things were going on. And so we talked a lot about the rapture of the church. And every time that we would get together, I'm talking about our friends in church, and we spent a lot of time fellowship, and we didn't have our family there, but that was our family. We'd get together and we'd talk about the Lord coming. And every time it just bothered Kim bad. We'd talk about the Lord coming and be excited about it. In fact, I was so sure the Lord was going to come before my tour was up. Supposed to come back in January of 1991. We said, we'll never go back to America. Surely the Lord's coming. Look how long ago that's been. Does that mean he's not coming? No, that means we're that much closer. Because if things were changing then, they've changed a whole lot more now. That always bothered her and bothered her and bothered her. That was the Lord convicting her and saying, you're not saved. You're not saved. There's the perspective of the Savior. There's, last of all, this morning, this is the prospect of the saints. Something that we that are saved by the grace of God ought to be looking forward to. Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. The prospect of the saints is the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of people talk about it in the light of my life stinks, I wish the Lord would come. That shouldn't be our perspective. I'm in debt, I wish the Lord would come. I'm having problems in my family, I wish the Lord would come. I'm not as healthy as I one time was, I wish the Lord would come. Life, with all of its problems, is still pretty good. There's a lot of good in life. There's many, many blessings that we have down here, and it is not wrong to want to enjoy the blessings that God has given us. We should be a joyful people. You know, I enjoy my church family. I enjoy my family. I enjoy my friends. I enjoy things. I enjoy nature. I enjoy and look forward to a lot of things in life. And that is the way that it should be. We as Christians shouldn't be going through life with a dark cloud hanging over our head and acting like we are eating lemons for breakfast and we never have a good thing to say. We got a lot of blessings. We got a lot to live for. Praise the Lord for that. I like life. But I believe that God has put in every one of us, in our DNA, the way we were created, the longing that there has to be something better. Right. Along with, yes, God has blessed me and I can be happy and content and satisfied and all like that. But in the very best of best, isn't there always a part of us that says there has to be something better? You ever been on vacation? Man, you look forward to it, had it all lined out. And I mean, it's just the best time and the best place that you ever had. But somewhere along that trip, something will happen and it just, you say, man, there's got to be something better. This sort of wasn't everything. And the reason that all humanity, I believe, feels that way is because there is something better. There is something better. And as much as we look forward to and want things in this life, there is something better provided for us. God has provided for us. This is the prospect of the saints. Now, life is great and wonderful and good and all like that, but there's something better. Something better. Say, what's going to be better about it? Well, I look forward to this not ever sinning again. Wouldn't that be all right? I think that'd be pretty good because that gets me down. You know, you think you're doing pretty good, and then all of a sudden you blow it. You ever blow it? You ever say something you shouldn't have said and do something and think something you shouldn't have thought? The prospect of the saints is one of these days I'm not going to blow it anymore. I'm not going to sin anymore. The prospect of the saints is I'm never going to get sick again. I'm not even talking about the flu or cancer or something like that, but when we get to heaven, when we go to be with the Lord, you'll never even say, ooh, I shouldn't have eaten that. This don't feel that good today. There'll never be a day, never in all eternity, where you'll ever wake up again and say, you know, I just don't feel too good today. Every day will be lived in a new, glorified body. You think we'll eat in heaven? I sure think we'll eat in heaven. I read about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Eating is one of the things we enjoy most. You'll be able to eat and have no bad side effects. You never get sick again. You never have to go down the funeral home again. Boy, I look forward to that. I hate that. I hate to hear that every week, every day. We all know, you know, somebody died. Somebody was expected and somebody was unexpected and somebody was very young and then there's a child and never have to worry about that no more. Never have to worry about no more tears. The Bible said he's going to wipe all tears away. One of these days there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth and God himself will dwell with us and be our God and we will be his people. We have something really, really to look forward to. Kim is reading a book on heaven. And she asked me questions. She's been asking me questions, and I want to say, I preached on that. But I'm not saying that. But I done told her all these things. But she was asking about heaven this morning and the original earth and all like that. And I said, the new heaven and the new earth. You know how the mall is now? And you go to the mall, but you have to go outside to go in Hobby Lobby. Why did they do that? I don't understand that. But that's sort of how heaven is. We are on the earth, and you can't get to heaven without going out. You got to die to get in Hobby Lobby. But in the new heaven and the new earth, there's going to be a way to just go back and forth. And you don't have to die to get there. That ought to make you shout this morning. It'll all be as one new heaven, the new heaven come down, be on the new earth, brand new, renovated. You think things are nice now? You wait till we get over there. The prospect of the saints of God is pretty good. Be better than Hobby Lobby.
We got to put things in real carnal terms for us to get a blessing out of. There's so much more for us as the children of God. Yes, I love this life, and there's many things you can look forward to, but there's something better. Don't feel bad to think, you know, there's got to be something better because there is. That's why the Bible says this is the blessed hope, looking for that blessed hope and the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 1 John 3:3 said, and every man that hath this hope within him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. It's good to live with the hope of Christ in us. I was reading this week in the book of Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 9. It said, the hope of the righteous is gladness. That's really what got me to thinking about this. I thought, what is the hope of the righteous? The hope of the righteous is gladness. Our hope, what we have hope in, is gladness. We ought to be the happiest people in the world. Because we got something to be glad about. We got something to be happy about this morning. No sin, no sickness, no dying, no politics. Praise the Lord. There's just going to be one king. He's going to rule over everything. None of this election year junk. I get so tired of all that stuff. One of these days, see, that's our prospect. That's our prospect. So if you're a child of God,
boy, I tell you, we got a lot to look forward to. But in closing this morning, if you're not a child of God, if you've never been saved, you really don't have anything to look forward to. You better really, really be enjoying this life, because this is as good as it's ever going to get. You say, preacher, really?
Wouldn't that be depressing if this was as good as it would ever get? If you're here today and you've never been saved, the thing you need more than anything in this life is a real relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? The Spirit and the bride say, come. And whosoever will, come. And let him take the water of life freely. Jesus said, if you will believe on me, you'll never die. Never die. He has made a way where this great hope can be your hope today.
Be the greatest day of your life. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed.